The war in Ukraine is being fought in a few ways. The so-called hot war of soldiers, tanks, Molotov cocktails, the information war in state media and social media, and then a kind of energy conflict. The U.S. has said no to Russian oil imports, reshuffling the world energy map. Let's talk about that with Barbara Shook. She's a veteran oil market journalist for the past four decades, most recently with Energy Intelligence Group. Barbara, good to have you again.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So can I first ask about the ban on Russian imports? The U.S. is a net importer of oil, but only 10% of that comes from Russia. So what does this mean, that the U.S. can get non-Russian oil from somewhere else in the world? Is that possible?
The U.S. can get oil from other places in the world as long as we don't have a ban on it, as we currently do, on Iranian oil and on Venezuelan oil. Those may be lifted in coming days. We don't know what the rules will be yet, but not every refinery can handle every kind of crude. That's one of the tricky things. It's like having an oven that can process, can bake only a certain kind of cake recipe. It's a little more complicated than just taking a barrel of oil and putting it through the processors at a given refinery. They're very picky at what they handle.
Yeah, say Venezuelan oil, I understand, is considered very sour oil, as the industry folks put it, right? And only certain refineries have the ability to process that into, say, gasoline?
That's correct. One of the things that's been going on the U.S. Gulf Coast is refineries have been upgraded to handle more light sweet crude because that's what's being produced out of the Permian Basin, and production is increasing there. So you've got more pipelines constructed to carry those qualities of crude. So it's a challenge.
As this ban goes into effect, in reality, does it hurt Russia? We know the Europeans are still buying Russian oil.
They have no alternative. That's the issue for them. They just have no alternative. Their refineries are configured to process the Russian grades, and they can't just take West Texas Intermediate or Brent.
Mm. So for the Russian oil companies, is the money still coming in? I mean, we know there are financial sanctions as well, but as we speak, is the money still coming in to the Russian oil companies?
I think that this is a juggling act for the Russians. They're probably going to increase some sales to China. They're going to lose some sales to the U.S. They'll probably lose some sales to Europe.
Yeah, let me ask you about the juggling act as far as OPEC producers are concerned. OPEC has been partnering lately with Russia in what's called OPEC Plus. If there's less Russian oil sold around the world, do their members pump enough oil to make up the difference?
Well, Russia is the largest member of OPEC Plus. The other players in OPEC Plus collectively are not really significant players, significant producers. I understand from one of my sources that the situation inside OPEC Plus has been described as Alice in Wonderland-like. Mm. They're trying to keep their organization together. It's just a juggling act.
Finally, Barbara, is this potentially a long-term remaking of the energy map in the world? That is, could a good amount of Russian oil be shunned for a long time? Or does the energy industry think this is a short-term disruption and we'll basically go back to where we were?
I don't see it, and I'm not hearing that anyone expects this to be a long-term shunning of Russian oil. That this is a short-term situation unless Vladimir Putin tries to make it into a long-term situation. The world needs the Russian oil. We can't make up for it completely. I mean, the price is going to stay high for a while.
Right. The world, as you're saying, does need it. Barbara Shook, veteran oil and gas reporter based in Houston. Barbara, thank you again for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Scott, for asking.